Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from Him who wore the crown of glory for us, Jesus, our Savior. Mark chapter 15, the soldiers led Jesus away into the palace and called together the whole company of soldiers. They then put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, thou King of the Jews." Thus far our text. Indeed, dear friends of Christ, Lent has come early this year, it seems. It's kind of amazing that it's already here upon us again. And as we take this journey of Lent, we're really taking a journey with Jesus to the holy city of Jerusalem and going through the passion that he endured with him. For our Lenten theme this year, we're going to be looking at his passion indeed, but more specifically, we're going to be looking at the wounds that his body endured in the course of securing our salvation. And yes, they were wounds to his hands, to his feet, wounds to his head, wounds to his side, his body, and wounds to his back. And all those wounds bled holy blood for you and for me, holy blood, for the salvation of the world. And this evening, we take a moment to consider the wounds that were given to him on his head. O sacred head, as we just sang. O sacred head, now wounded. And as we think of the wounds upon his head, I guess what comes to mind is the crown that they placed upon him. For that's what kings wear, don't they? Kings wear crowns, beautiful crowns, regal crowns, royal crowns, crowns bedazzled with jewels and made with gold. Reminds me of the crown for Emperor Maximilian I. His crown had golden arches, and it was covered with all kinds of emeralds, sapphires, rubies, pearls, and diamonds. Today, his crown is estimated to be valued at over $17 million. Now, that's a crown. That's a crown. And there's many other crowns as well. We might even think of Emperor Charles V back in Luther's day. He had a crown as well. It was made out of 22 karat gold. And it had 30 emeralds, 19 sapphires, 20 pearls, one large ruby, and 44 spinels. As one commentator put it, the bigger your headgear, the more important you must be. The more important you are. Imagine the crown then, having given that definition. Imagine the crown that the King of all kings would wear. Imagine the crown that the King of the universe would wear. Imagine the gems, the diamonds. Imagine the gold. Imagine the pomp and the ceremony at his coronation service. One would think it would be absolutely amazing. Unlike any crown or unlike any ceremony ever conducted, the King of Kings indeed. The irony, though, that confronts us this evening is that that wasn't the case with Jesus. The crown that they put on him was not made of gold, was not made of silver. The crown that they put on him had no diamonds, had no rubies. It had no sapphires or emeralds or pearls. It had none of those things. The crown that they put on him was a cruel crown. It was a crown made with thorns. Twisted vines, fashioned together, laden with thorns, and they took it and pressed it upon his head, drawing forth holy blood from his holy head. Oh yes, our sacred head of our Savior wounded. And along with the pain of the thorns was probably something even a little bit worse. Along with the pain of the thorns was the pain of the coronation ceremony they had for him. For this ceremony, there were no dignitaries present. There were no amazing speeches being given by the prime minister. There was no regal trumpets blowing in the background, no wonderful choirs playing, no regal lipizzan or stallions on parade. The only thing that was present was a band of unruly, unkept Roman soldiers. And they made an art of dehumanizing their victims. And yes, indeed, they dehumanized Jesus. They took the thorns that they had made and pressed them down hard upon this king's head, crowning him. But instead of singing, instead of praising, they mocked him. Putting a purple robe upon him, they mocked him. "Hail, thou King of the Jews!" And you can hear them laughing in the garrison. "Hail, thou King of the Jews!" That's what he called him, himself. And they mocked him with cruel mockings. And as they mocked him, they then took a staff. And they took that staff and they struck him upon the head again and again and again, pressing down the thorns, even worse, drawing out more and more blood, bringing about more and more pain. They struck him on the head, and as they struck him, they spit on him. I wonder what that Roman soldier is going to think on Judgment Day. They spit on him. What a horrible coronation ceremony, dear friends. What a horrible, horrible coronation ceremony. Unlike any coronation ever done before. They took the thorns and fashioned a crown and put it on the head of the king they mocked. O sacred head now wounded, with thorns laden. Friends of Christ, why thorns? Why thorns of all things? Well, it actually takes us back, way back to the book of Genesis chapter 3, where the curses of sin are spoken of. And one of them involved thorns. For there it is written in Genesis chapter 3, thorns and thistles will infest the ground. They will infest the ground because the rebellion of man. For man's rebellion was not only met in his own body with the curse of returning to the dust, but it also went to the earth itself. Into the ground, beautiful plants now bringing forth gnarly vines laden with spiny thorns. No longer what God intended. Indeed, the greatest of ironies is before us. The Creator, who once pronounced His creation to be good after making the earth, now gets to wear the curse of that rebellion Himself. But that's what we see now. We see Jesus wearing the curse of the ground. We see Jesus wearing the curse of the twisted plants with spiny thorns upon His own holy head. But friends, indeed, this is the reason that He came. He came to wear the thorns for us. He came to become the curse for us. He came to bear it all. And wearing the thorns, wearing the curse, His holy head bled. Holy drops of blood. And those drops of blood fell to the ground, the very ground that was cursed, was now being forgiven. And yes, dear friends, though we wear ashes this evening to remind us of the Genesis curse, the curse of the dust, yet we have life this evening. We have life because Jesus wore the crown of thorns, because they pressed them down hard upon his head and brought forth his holy blood. You and I have life. In fact, you and I now get to wear the royal crown of life. Revelation says it. Be thou faithful unto death, and you will receive the crown of everlasting life. We sinful paupers are now made royalty in God's kingdom. We are now made royalty in God's own court because there was a king who wore the crown of thorns for us. So yes, you and I, indeed, we are in the presence of royalty this evening. Those around you, each other, for God has made us royals. He has placed upon us his crown because Jesus wore the thorns in our stead and in our place. Yes, indeed, what the commentator said was coming true. The bigger your head gear, the more important you are. And how important you are that the King of all kings, that the King of the universe should wear a crown of thorns, that you may have the crown of heaven, the crown of glory, the crown of everlasting life. And so we rejoice this evening, dear friends, in our Savior Jesus. No, he didn't wear crowns made with 22 karat gold, laden with sapphires, diamonds, emeralds, rubies, and pearls. He wore one made of thorns, that we might wear one of glory. Through Jesus and his crown, the proud heads of this world are glorified. Thank you, dear Jesus, we pray this evening. Thank you, dear Jesus, for wearing that crown of thorns, that I may wear a crown of gold. In his name, we ask it. In his name, we pray. Amen. We invite you to arise. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds forever in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who wore the crown of thorns for us, in his almighty name. Amen.